Christian without a sword. That's okay. You can just hold up your hand anyway. Okay, and we do this because the word is to be near us. It's to be in our hearts and on our lips and our mouth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. This is my Bible.
I am who it says I am.
I have what it says I have.
And I can do what it says I can do.
Today I will be taught the word of God.
I boldly confess.
My mind is open.
My heart is alert.
To receive the indestructible, incorruptible,
everlasting,
ever-living
seed
of the word of God.
It will touch my heart,
and it will change me.
I will never be the same.
In Jesus' name.
Never, never, never.
Okay, let's open to 1 Peter 5, verse 8. And this morning we're talking about the warrior's lifestyle, how we need to really war against the enemies in our life, and how we need to become a warrior in order to receive the healing that is part of the Lord's gift to us through the covenant that he has created with us. So in 1 Peter chapter 5, I think I'll start with verse 5, because I'm seeing here that the scripture says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So he resists those who are haughty or proud, but as we humble ourselves to him, he gives us grace, which is unmerited favor. And the scripture in verse 6 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Meaning, he's going to lift us up. He's going to lift us up from where we are. He's going to give us his viewpoint, his perspective. Now, the way we do that, in verse 7 it says, casting all of your cares upon him, for he cares for you. So that means that we're constantly, the scripture means casting all of your cares upon him is the image, the sign of rolling over. It's like when you're at the beach, you're standing at the beach at surf's edge, and the waves continually roll in. You see those, you know, the waves crest at the ocean, and then they roll into the shore. So that's what casting your cares. It doesn't mean you do it once and for all. It means you're continually casting your cares, rolling your cares over on him. Use that image, you know, of the waves rolling in. So you're casting your cares, continually rolling your cares over on him because he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion looking for who he may devour. Verse 9 says, resist him. Now, in the scriptures, resist. Resist is defined as the active imperative that indicates an assertive stance against the adversary's operation. Because of the devil's aggressive hostility, Christians must be spiritually alert, not only to withstand his attacks, but in prayer and in spiritual warfare opposing him. So the scripture is telling us that we have an enemy, and his name is the devil. And the image the scripture gives us is a lion. Now, if you've ever been to the zoo, you stand in front of the lion's cage, and that lion stalks back and forth and walks back and forth and back and forth, looking to who's outside that cage, back and forth, looking for who the lion can attack, who the lion can go after. Now, of course, in that situation, that doesn't happen. But that's the image that the scripture is giving us, that the enemy, the devil, is like a lion, prowling, looking to see whom he may devour. That very verse is telling us he can't devour everyone, but he's looking to see who's not clothed in the armor. He's looking to see, you know, who's not in that stance of standing in the word of the Lord. He's looking to see where there might be kinks in the armor, where we're not living in accordance with the word of God, looking to see whom he may devour. We need to resist him, and how do we resist him? We stay steadfast in the faith, meaning we stand in faith. We don't stand in a feeling. We stand in faith. How does faith come? Faith comes by the hearing and hearing of the Word of God. Does it come by reading it once? No, it doesn't. It comes by over and over again, you know, making those deposits. It's like we've talked about before. It's like going to the bank and you deposit money in the bank. And then when you need money, you can go and draw it out. You know it's there. So you deposit the Word of the Lord in your heart. You're making deposits so that when you need it, it's in there to pull out. If you don't make deposits, when the time comes that you need it, you're going to come up empty. You're going to come up blank. You're not going to know what to do or where to stand or what to say because you don't have those deposits. So we need to make the deposits in our heart, you know, so that when we need them, we can withdraw them. That's being steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So what it's saying is, you're not the only one, you know, that's having this difficulty. You're not the only one that can come under attack. The whole body of Christ, the whole body of Christ comes under attack by the works of the enemy. Now, one of the teachings on this from this study Bible, and I want to share it with you because I just think it has a lot of wisdom in it. It says this: a believer's growth may be hindered or halted by three distinct enemies, the devil, the world, and the flesh. So the devil, first we have to know that there is a devil out there. You know, if we don't know that, then we don't go any further with this teaching. I mean, we need to know that we do have an enemy. We need to know that it is the devil. We need to know that his name is Satan. We need to know that he has a plan. But we also need to know that we have the greater one within us, and he has a plan also, and it's a plan for our welfare and not for woe. And he gives us, the Lord gives us, a way of escape from this, a way of dealing with this, a way of winning. So, and then there's the world. There's the move of the world. There's the things that the world tells us. May not necessarily be bad things. And this is where it gets a little bit hairy. Because, you know, when something is really adverse to the Word of God, and there's no contest as to, we know this is wrong. But there are some things in the world that aren't really, you know, negative, bad things, but they're not the Lord's things. So we need to be wary of that, of falling into the way of the world. And then there's the flesh. The three things, the three things where our growth can be hindered or halted is the devil, the world, and the flesh. The flesh would be those cravings that we have of the flesh. They could be sexual cravings. They could be cravings for like in our positions, for more power, for more places of prestige, where we put so much of our time and energy into our professions, into our careers, that we really don't have time to be about the Lord's things or to be about prayer, that type of thing. Whatever it is, the cravings of your flesh. The cravings of the flesh could be something as simple as your diets, your choices that you make in your diet, that causes then cholesterol to go up, that causes then weight to come on, that causes high blood pressure to come, and that then causes our health to deteriorate. You know, the Lord wants us to walk in divine health. He wants us to be healthy and whole, but He still gives us that freedom of choice that we spoke about earlier. And so if we give in to the cravings of the flesh, and as a result of that, and we'll just use that as one example, because I know all women struggle with that at one time or another. We all do. So if we give in to that and give in to those cravings, and, oh, I just have to have that chocolate, or, oh, I just have to have that pizza, or I haven't had a steak sub in a long time, and I just have to have it, you know, and then we start, the pounds start to come, and then the blood pressure starts to go up, and the cholesterol levels start to go up, and what happens is our health starts to deteriorate. See, that's the work of the flesh. That the Lord doesn't want that. Just because you may be postmenopausal doesn't mean that you have to gain weight, have high blood pressure, and have high cholesterol. You know, that's, I don't see that anywhere, you know, in the Word of God. But we tend to get those because most women who are at that season of life have those things happen. So we need to say, what am I yielding to in the flesh, you know, that's really hampering or hindering, you know, my growth in the Lord? Because it's hard to grow in the Lord. It's hard to be passionate about praise and worship when you're sick and when you're hurting and when you're not feeling well. So, you know, that can be a real hindrance. So those three things, the devil, the world, and the flesh. We are warned how the devil walks or roams about like a lion. When lions hunt, they look for the weak, young, isolated, unguarded animals. So they look then for the weak. So we need to be strong. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, the psalmist says. So we need to be strong. How do we get strong? Again, we get strong by making those deposits of the Word of God, by allowing the Lord to hold us up so we can see with his viewpoint, his perspective, by believing that he's taken all of those soiled garments from all the events of our life that have happened and reclothed us. He didn't just put that white robe of righteousness over the old. He took the old off and he put on the new. So the old is gone. It's finished. It's not part of us. And so even though the same feelings may be there, again, we do like Abram did. You know, when the Lord said to him, you're going to be the father of many nations. And he did not have one child. But yet he spoke as if he did, and it came into being. Our words have a lot of power. You know, Jesus created the universe through his words. You know, words have power. Our words create the environment in which we live. Our words create what's going on in our spirit. Our words create our moods, don't they? I mean, you know yourself, when you're speaking positive and when you're speaking promises and when you're speaking good things, you feel a whole lot different than when you're speaking the negativity, or you're speaking what other people are projecting onto you, or you're speaking, you know, the CNN news or those types of things. So our words are really important. So we have to be strong, because the lion looks for the weak, looks for the isolated. That's important too. You know, we really, it's easy to isolate ourselves. We all live in busy lives. Many people work outside their homes. You have a lot to do at home. You have your profession outside the home. There's, for many of us, you know, there's grandchildren and there's watching grandchildren. And then there's the whole realm of what we want to do in the Lord, and how we want to take time, and how we want to spend time with things of that sort. And so it can be easy to just throw up our hands and say, this is too much. I just don't have the time or energy for this, and kind of isolate ourselves. Or maybe we're present in the assembly, but as we were talking about earlier, sometimes we push our feelings down, suppress our feelings. And so even though we're here, we're isolated. We can feel alone in a crowded room. We can see all these people loving each other and the hug line and all that business, and feel totally separate and isolated from that, even though we're here. So if we're feeling that way, you know, we need to say, why am I feeling that way? Why am I perhaps holding myself at bay? Why am I not moving along with that, you know? Why am I isolating myself? Because that's a dangerous place to be. Because the enemy, you know, when we're all together and we're all united in, you know, in unity there is strength. When we're all united, he doesn't have a chance of penetrating all of us. But if you're off to the side and you're isolated, whether it be emotionally, spiritually, whatever, or even physically, that you don't even show up at things, you know, then you can be picked off very easily by either the devil, the world, or the flesh. So we need to look out for isolation. Unguarded. He also looks for the unguarded. How do we guard ourselves? We should be putting on the armor of God, as in Ephesians, put on the whole armor of God so that you can withstand the wiles of the enemy. You all know that scripture. You know, we start from the top of our head, where we put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate. You know, it's like getting dressed in the morning. You wouldn't think of going to work unclothed. But yet, we walk out into a world that is a spiritual world also. You know, even though it's not as obvious, and we may not see that. Oftentimes, we may be on a retreat, or we may be at a conference, and we hear about putting on the armor, and we say, oh yeah, I have to do that. And we make nice notes about that. Put on the armor each morning. And because it hasn't become a habit, because we haven't started that, we forget it. So when you go home tonight, take one of those little yellow stickies and put on the mirror or wherever it is you blow dry your hair or whatever it is you do, whatever you do, put on the armor each morning. Now your husband might say, what in the world is this? And you say, that's okay. I know what it is. And then while you're getting ready or whatever, you say, Lord, you know, in your name, clothe me in your armor from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. You know, I put on the helmet as you're combing your hair. I put on the helmet of salvation. I put on as you're putting on your underclothes. I put on the breastplate of righteousness. I shod my feet when you're putting on your shoes with the gospel of peace, meaning I'm going to walk in peace and I'm going to believe in peace. You know, so you see yourself and picture yourself doing that. See yourself doing that. You know, that's how we guard ourselves. That is a spiritual exercise, a spiritual move, but it's just as real. It is just as real as you putting on your shirt, putting on your skirt, putting on your shoes, putting on your pants, putting on whatever it is you put on. It's just as real. Just because we don't see it doesn't mean it's not real. Amen? So we need to do that. Now, the ones that are weak, young, isolated, or unguarded, they are the ones marked for attack. The devil's ultimate agenda is to destroy us. His ultimate agenda. How do we know that? Because the scriptures tell us he comes to kill, he comes to steal, he comes to destroy. He wants not merely to hurt or maim or discourage, but to devour and destroy. That's his goal. Because he was destroyed. You know, he was the head honcho, the big worship leader, remember? And he was destroyed. And so what he wants to do, he wants to destroy everyone else, particularly those who are marked by the sign of Christ, those who are under the covenant of Jesus. He does that when he gets us to bow to circumstances, when he gets us to bow to pressures or forces of his evil design, hoping thereby to make us yield to him. To overcome, we need to adopt a reverse. And I think this is really good. So you want to write down B-O-W, bow. Bow to Jesus. Okay? And the first thing we do is we believe. That's the B. The B is we believe. We believe, first off, that we are under the covenant, that we're clothed in the white robe of righteousness, that we have a God who has a plan for us, but that we also have to believe that we have an enemy who has a plan for us. The reason we have to believe that is certainly not to focus on the negative or not to give him any kind of a high place. But if we act as if it doesn't exist, it's going to exist just the same. And if you don't believe it, you're not going to use all that the Lord has given us to battle him, to win, to defeat him in our life and in these circumstances. So do you understand what I'm saying? So to say, oh, well, we don't want to go there. We don't want to talk about the devil, or we don't want to give the devil a place. No, we don't give him. We give him the rightful place. And you know where that rightful place is? It's under our feet. We have him under our feet. We have to know he exists. We have to admit that so that we can use the armor. It wouldn't make any sense putting the armor on if we didn't have an enemy out there. It wouldn't be any sense not being isolated if we didn't have an enemy out there. It wouldn't make any sense doing all that we're talking about and developing a warrior mentality. So that's why we have to believe that, so that we can use what the Lord's given us to stand against it. Secondly, the O stands for obey. We need to be obedient daughters of the Lord. We need to work in accordance with his word. We talked earlier, I mentioned, you know, people that have kinks in their armor. We can put the armor on, but if we're living in sin in certain areas and we're living in unrepented sin, you know, that develops a kink or a hole, a rip, if you will, in our armor. And so that even though you might put that armor on, you know, then that enemy comes in, and, you know, also an image of of Satan is the snake, so he's going to wiggle his way in, see that kink, see that opening, and then still be able to get into it to attack. So if there's areas where we're living in disobedience to the word of God, if there's areas where we're living in disobedience to his call in our life, we need to repent of that. It's that simple. We need to repent. Now, 1 John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So if you're sitting there saying, well, yeah, there's this and there's that, or there's this unforgiveness I'm carrying, or there's this fantasy that I work with a lot, you know, in my mind, that brings me into a lot of impurities, whatever it may be. The Lord says, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So he forgives us and he washes us clean. Again, if we get that white robe of righteousness a little bit dirty, if we go out and play in the mud where we're not supposed to, you know, and we repent and we confess, then he's going to wash that clean. He cleanses us of all unrighteousness. And then we're pure again in his sight and clean again in his sight. So that's the O, and the W is worship. Again, we heard earlier the Rhema word that was brought to us in our praise and worship time. You know, the Satan, our enemies, hate the sound of worship. Hate the sound of worship. They can't stand. They run in terror at the sound of worship. Also, we saw where worship makes a way for us to get where we are now to where we need to be. Makes a way for us to get from where we are now to move to where the sounds of heaven, where the sounds of heaven exist. So, B-O-W. We bow to the Lord, and we believe, we obey, and we worship. It goes on to say that he overcame refusing to bow. The believer overcomes refusing to bow to Satan's devices. And our growth in him meaning Jesus Christ and Jesus the Word, will bring the same ability to us to resist or stand against the devil. Be clothed in the full armor of God. That's in Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 14. Believe him. Believe what he says. We find that in Hebrews 11, 6. And obey him. 1 John 3, 24. And worship him. That's in John 4, 23. When we do that, we receive Christ's overcoming victory. Okay, now, some other scriptures that just indicate and help us to understand how we do have an enemy in our life. Ephesians 6:11 talks about the wiles of the devil. 2 Timothy 2:26 talks about the snare of the devil. James 4:7 says, resist the devil. Resist the devil. We heard that again in our scripture from Peter. Resist the devil. When you resist someone or something, that is an aggressive stance. That is, you just don't. If somebody comes over and grabs you, you just don't just stand there and go like that and pull away very timidly. No, you're going to resist. You're going to pull back with all your strength. You know, you're going to use all the strength that you have to resist this intruder or this person that's coming at you. The same way in spiritual things. We resist with all that we have. We resist with the Word of God, which is the sword of our spirit. We resist with the armor, with the things we just spoke of. 1 John 3:8 talks about the works of the devil. Carol, will you kind of listen to see when that... It hasn't clicked off yet, so... But it's 30 minutes on one side, then I'm going to click it over. Revelations 2:10 says, indeed, the devil is about. Now, we're looking today at the warrior lifestyle, particularly in light of healing. Many times we come to a healing service, a healing mass, whatever, and we don't see a change, or we're praying with people and we don't see a change, and we wonder why that is, you know, because we know the scriptures tell us that our God is a God who heals. We know that he tells us, though many are our destructions, he delivers us out of them all. We know that he said to the people in Exodus, I am the God who heals you, you know. So we know that's true. But oftentimes, we don't develop that warrior mentality. We don't see it as a battle between the spirits, the negative spirits, the demonic spirits, and ourselves. We don't see it that way. We see it as, it's genetic, it runs in my family, or we see it as, well, I took this medication, and this medication tends to cause that. You know, we look for all those things. It isn't that there isn't truth in those things. I mean, there is truth in some of those things. There are certain things that are in family lines, and there, that's where we have to go to the breaking, you know, in the name of Jesus, of family lines. There, we are predisposed. There are some genetic predisposals, you know, in our life. We're not saying that that doesn't exist. You know, we're not like an ostrich where we put our head under the sand and we take what the world gives us in the way of knowledge and wisdom, you know, but that's not the whole picture. You know, that's not the whole picture. Sometimes we do that and we lose and overlook, you know, the whole spiritual realm and the fact that we do have an enemy prowling like a lion looking for someone to devour. He does come after us, you know, in the spiritual and the emotional, but he also comes through the physical. He uses those things that I just mentioned, those things that are in the natural. He uses those things to work against us. Just as we use then what the Lord is bringing to us, his promises, his word, that armor, those weapons, along with the best medical care that we can get. It isn't either or. It's both and. It's both and. We need to know that. You know, you have a situation. You know, yes, we bring faith to it. Yes, we believe in healing. Does that mean we don't go to the doctor for treatment? Does that mean that we refuse treatment from the doctor? No, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that. Because when we're at that point in our healing, you know, the doctor will say to you, well, I don't see this anymore. I don't see that anymore. This is no longer necessary. So we use the advice, we use the counsel of the doctor to confirm what the Lord is doing within. You know, we don't put ourselves in a place where we say, I mean, utilizing doctors, utilizing medicine is not a lack of faith. I'll never forget years back, it was back in the late 70s, there was this young woman who had developed breast cancer, and she was being treated with chemotherapy, and she went to, I don't know the name, I wouldn't say it even if I did know, but she went to a church for ministry. And they told her that as a sign of faith, she needed to stop her medication. And she was a young Christian, and she believed that was true, and she really believed, you know, that the Lord was going to heal her, and she stopped her medication. And when she came to us at the People of New Hope at our prayer meeting, her cancer had really taken off with a vengeance, the cancer that was in her body, and it was hitting vital organs, and she had a limited time to live. You know, so the ministry to her was, you know, she had a lot of anger and so forth inside of her for what these other Christian people did. It was affecting her relationship with the Lord and things of that sort. So, you know, we ministered to her really to come to peace because all that was raging in her body along with the cancer. But look at that. See, she was given really negative counsel. And so you never stop. You never, no matter how we grow in faith and how we believe, you don't stop your medication. You allow the doctor to confirm what the Lord's doing within you. Now, the whole idea of seeing it as a battle, you know, of seeing it as the enemy and seeing, we can talk about cancer. Many of us know people with cancer. I stand before you, a breast cancer overcomer. 16 years ago, many of you are aware of this, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. These principles that I share with you, I did. I know it works. You know, I can stand here and tell you of the, you know, of the healing, of the deliverance that happened with me. I can tell you of the battle that took place. I can tell you of the fact that I was never sick, I never felt bad, that it was there, it was healed, it was taken care of. My doctor, you know, declared me cancer-free within about 6 weeks of the original diagnosis. I know it works. I know you have to battle it, you know. And we learned a lot. You know, we, Father Dale, myself, the people of New Hope, you know, we learned a lot through that. And because originally we didn't see it that way. Originally, you know, that wasn't the case. And you know what first opened the door to it was about a week after I had gone for just a baseline mammogram because I felt like I should have it, but my doctor wasn't recommending it at that point. And I went to the GYN and told him I wanted to have one. He said, you don't need one. Cut long story short, I said, but I want one. You know, give me the script. And so he did. I went, and first mammogram, they said, you have a lesion in your left breast. And I said, by lesion, do you mean you think it's malignant? And she said, yes, I do. You know, you need to call a surgeon. So that's what started it. At that point, the people that spiritually that I was connected with, we didn't have the knowledge that we have today, that we accrued through that, you know, as far as the whole idea of the battle. And about a week later, Father Dale had been invited to give his testimony at a Women's Aglow meeting out in Falston, Maryland. And he invited me to go with him. And at that point, I was going to any place I could go where the Word of God was being taught and where there was praise and worship. I just wanted to soak myself in all that any chance I could. And so I went. And I went into, at the break, I'll never forget this lady. I went into the ladies' room, and she, and you know how we get to know one another in the ladies' room. And she said, how are you doing today? And I told her how I was doing. I said, I'm not doing real well. I just had this diagnosis, and, you know, I'm really not settled with it. She said, can I pray with you? Then this was my first experience, and this was 16 years ago. This lady, she was on fire with the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you. She put her hand on me, and she started cursing that tumor. She cursed it in the name of Jesus. She commanded that it be gone. She talked to the devil and commanded him to get his hands off me. I